you got to be able to overcome things, bad things happen in games, and you just got to be able to be resilient and bounce back. And we just didn't do enough, obviously, to do that. You're not gonna win many games when you're minus four in the turnover battle. And we knew going in, I mean, Sirianni's got a heck of a record when they win the football, so that was one of the points of emphasis. I think it's like 28-2 when they win the turnover battle, and so that was a huge point of emphasis. It always is every week. A lot of these games are going to come down to that, and you can't be minus four and expect to win a football game.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, broadcasting our studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. That's Matt LaFleur. And Mason, if I had said to you the Packers are going to lose the turnover battle by four, you tell me they're going to lose by four touchdowns, right? Like, the fact that this game was even close shows how much the defense kept them in it.
They kept them in it, for sure. I mean, the turnover battle is, it's like the easiest stat to look at on wins and losses, and it's always a point of emphasis. So it needs to be addressed and talked about every week. But everybody knows it. So it's the simplest thing that if you go out and you lay an egg there, it's very hard to win football games, especially in the playoffs. And the Eagles didn't like attack and capitalize on it, but they won the game because of it.
Joining us now on the Mason and Crosby Show, like we talked about last segment, number 18 in our program, one in our hearts. He's tied with Mason Crosby. He is the one, the only wide receiver, Randall Cobb. Randall, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Hey, Randall. Hey, I know you are traveling today, and appreciate you jumping on. And you're heading up north. So tell us where you're headed right now.
I am. I'm headed up to Glendale, right outside of Milwaukee. I'm doing some things with Verizon for FanFest. I'm going to be at the Verizon store on Washington Road at 5 p.m. today. So if anybody's out, want to come say hey. If y'all want to talk about the game, like we can get into it. Just I know the fans are feeling it just like all of us. That was tough way to go out.
Randall, I gotta say, so that is my Verizon store. I can see Bayshore Mall from my house, and so I will definitely get there.
I'll see you in a few hours.
Yeah, I will definitely pop by. I can't wait to see you. But you're absolutely right about the game yesterday. It's that we were just talking about. They lost the turnover battle 4-0, and we're still in the game. Like, that says something about this team, doesn't it?
That says a lot. And just think of all the injuries too. You have Elton go down early in the game, and then obviously Christian was already out. You lose Romeo, Jaden Reed, his shoulder situation. I mean, it was really tough to see all those injuries, and especially in a game like that where I feel like we had a really, really great opportunity to still be in a game. I think that just shows you how much this team fights and how much they believe in each other. It was really impressive to see them continue to stay in the game with all the injuries.
Nice. Yeah. So, watching that game yesterday, obviously, disappointing not to come away with that win. What did you see, from that offense, Jordan Love, some of his, decision-making and the things that he, did, throughout the course of the game? I've been saying I appreciate it. I think they tried to put that game in Jordan's hands to go win it, depleted with injuries, things like that. Were there some things that you saw that they maybe should have done differently on the offensive side of the ball once, all that stuff has gone down? Especially, you've been in that building, you've been on the field in situations where you lose some guys, do some different things. What are some adjustments that that could have been made to maybe give them a better chance to win that one?
I think Matt did a great job calling the game. I think he put them in a situation. Obviously, when you're playing with your fourth, fifth, sixth receivers, it's a different ball game. And as a quarterback, playing with Aaron for so long and being a quarterback myself in college, I know the importance of like having a guy out there that you trust, that you know is going to be in the place that he needs to be, and he's going to do what he needs to do. So it makes it a little bit more difficult when you don't have the guys that you trust the most out there. So it makes it a lot more difficult. I think they did a great job of trying to lean on Josh Jacobs and continue that run attack even when they were down. I think if they if they could continue to find a way to put themselves in a manageable situation, which I think they did a good job of, and giving themselves a manageable third down, to find a way to complete some passes and continue that game and close the door. It was unfortunate to see some of the turnovers, though.
Yeah, you know, they didn't have the Randall Cobb security blanket out there. You know, the guy just running the perfect routes, you know, finding those seams.
You always know you can count on him to be where he's supposed to be every single time.
Exactly. I mean, talk about reliable guy. He's in the airport right now, heading to Milwaukee, and he's on the radio talking to an old teammate and friend. So I appreciate you, Randall, and I want to segue real quick too, because obviously you breaking down this game, talking about the NFL stuff. You've jumped into a new role as you're done with your playing career. You've gone to the SEC Network, and you are you're hosting a show Out of Pocket. Tell me about that transition from playing into the media space and how that's going.
It was an interesting transition. You know, it's been 24 was a very interesting year for me and my family. Obviously played the last game with the Jets at the end of the season last year of 23 season. We played New England. So that was my last NFL game up there. And then we had a baby in March. And then we
Congrats.
Had a house fire in June. Oh. And then I started a new job in July and transitioning to the broadcasting world. It helped ease the transition for me, because I think for all of us that's played the game, we always think we can do it, and we always think that we should be out there, and we could still be out there. So being able to stay around the game in some capacity and be able to break down ball on the college level, which obviously is a different product than the NFL, it took me a little bit to get my feet underneath me with understanding the different coaches and the coaches' changes and adding two new teams to the conference in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma. It was definitely a transition, but it was a lot of fun just to watch some of the games and see some of the athletes and some of the kids that, are going to be playing at the next level here soon.
Hey, yeah, so in that vein, I was just looking at obviously looking at what you're doing, and we see each other on occasion down here in Nashville. So do you think you could still run a 4.46 40?
whoa, Mason.
Hey, let me tell you, you give me 2 months to train.
See, I knew it.
Mason versus Randall. Let's set it up.
Randall still has it. We're working on his golf game now. So that's I can't wait for the snow to go away and we'll get back out on that golf course. And I think last time we played, you were on a production call with the Out of Pocket crew, kind of setting up your first show.
That is true. That was the last time we played. But, yeah, I got to be able to run. I got to stay somewhere in the fours to catch up these boys. I got
these
three little boys that I'm chasing around. And, now they're getting into sports, and I'm coaching flag football and basketball. It would be funny if someone came on a Saturday and saw me and Clay Matthews coaching our kids in flag football and in basketball. It's like an SNL skit.
It's an elite coaching crew that y'all have. I think you got Eric Decker as well.
And wow.
It's a stacked coaching staff out there in Nashville. So, let's dive back into kind of this playoffs, what this means. And maybe tell everybody listening, what does it look like when a season ends like this? You lose the playoffs games. What is this? This next day, next couple days, and the weeks ahead look for like for this Packers team?
It's very abrupt. You never want your season to end like this. And unfortunately, there's only one team that can carry that Lombardi off the field, and it wasn't our turn this year. And so now you're looking at Monday morning. They're probably all getting into the facility and going through their exit interviews and packing up the black trash bags you see the players already always carrying out, and just trying to figure out off-season plans and how they can get better personally to make the team better for this next season. And, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of guys that are looking to figure out, how things are going to work out, because next thing you know, you're going to look up, the free agency is going to be here. There's going to be some decisions that have to be made, and I know Boots going to do everything he can to make this roster as best as it can be for this 25 season.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about that too, as you know, as obviously they're going to start looking into the offseason, who are they going to bring in, you know, these teams. Josh Jacobs, you know, was you know, quoted saying after the game, and like, he obviously has seen it a million times as well, team is going to look different. Like, every season, every new offseason, it's a new team, it's a new opportunity. But we've been talking a lot about, you know, that number one receiver in the NFL. Do you have a feeling, or like, what's your opinion on NFL teams having just a true number one receiver that everyone knows is the guy that is going to be looked at first? Do you think that's an important piece for NFL teams to have?
I think it depends on the philosophy of the offense, and different offenses look at it from a different perspective. You know, one of the things that made us so special in Green Bay is that you could, there was obviously a true number one in Jordy, and then Devontae, as he aged and got into that role. But when you look at it from the perspective of having multiple guys like the Packers had this year, that makes the offense very difficult to stop. If I go back to 2011 when we had Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and myself and James Jones, like, what made us so special is that you couldn't take one of us away. Like, somebody else would pick up the slack and be able to make the plays. And that makes the offense very potent when you can do that, when you combine it with a running game like what Josh Jacobs is. Now, a clear number one, when you look at this Matt LaFleur offense, if you look at the places that he's been and the things that he's done and where he's had success, like in Atlanta, when he was down in Atlanta with the Julio Jones, it does make there's a case that you can argue that it is very beneficial in this offense to have a guy that you know is going to be the guy that's going to get a bulk of the targets and is going to be able to get open and make those plays. And what really that comes from is the play-action pass. Whenever you have a solid running game like you have with the Josh Jacobs, being able to open it up and have that play-action behind it with a guy that can streak down the field and make plays you know, on a big post and his old routes, but also be able to get in and out of his cuts and get in and out of his breaks on some of the end breakers and some of the intermediate passes as well.
Oh, yeah, I've been saying that as well. It's like the true number one, what it does is it brings up the core, you know, to a different level. You mentioned 2011, where it's like, yeah, you might have like the guy that is, you know, going to be targeted maybe a little bit more than the others, but it brings everybody up to the next level where everyone's chasing that, you know, that greatness or that next step for themselves. And I think it makes everybody just a little bit better. So, you know, one question that we're kind of tossing around too, and something I've been saying is like Jordan Love taking that next step and leadership and kind of almost like, you know, stepping outside of, you're just the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Whenever you got to Green Bay, Aaron, you know, was, you know, already established. You know, it was, you know, he was kind of already becoming Aaron Rodgers and who he was, and you know, in his development. But what is that importance for the next step for Jordan Love in his progression as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
I think it's very important. And, you know, everyone has a different leadership type. And there's many different ways that you can lead. You know, there's more vocal guys. There's guys that do it by action and the guys that just do things the right way all the time. And, you know, I obviously haven't been there with Jordan as he's come into this role. When I was with him, he was in the backup role and trying to figure out himself. So I can't speak to the type of leader that he's become now. But I think as he moves forward, what is important is for him to continue to find ways to build the relationships with the guys that he has in the building. And you can tell when you listen to that team talk, you can tell that they believe in him and they know that he has the capability to lead them to a Super Bowl. It's about making sure that he's finding ways to better his craft and become a better player, but also being able to lift up all the people around him to get the best out of them.
Oh, yep. I love that. That's I love your insight. Obviously, you are intimately involved in that quarterback, you know, position and how it, you know, in respect to your craft and what you did. And then you played quarterback in college and, you know, in high school. And diving back into that, you know, Mitch's wife and her family are like live very close to where you grew up,
right down the road
in East Tennessee. So Randall, so I think Mitch has some questions for you around your time in Tennessee and going to Kentucky.
Absolutely. Randall, I married a girl from Madisonville.
Right
down 411. I drive through Alcoa every time I land at the airport and have to drive down 411. I actually took a picture a couple times of the Alcoa sign, you know, on that bridge. I think I might have tweeted it at you too. But
He was disappointed. He was disappointed. You never responded to his tweet.
I thought we were going to meet up over Thanksgiving one year, mate. No, I'm just kidding.
That's my bad. My bad, man. I don't pay attention to Twitter as much as I should.
Do you hate Maryville? Like, do you just hate Maryville? Is that like, was that the big rival at the time?
That was our big rival. We I went 55-5 in high school, right?
Okay.
State championships.
Nice. Okay.
Of those five losses, four of them was to Maryville. We lost to Maryville every single year, right? So there's just this hatred that I have for the Rebels. But you know that it's all fun, and because I have so much respect for him as well, because the coach there at the time when I was there was George Foyles, who is a legendary coach in Tennessee. He did an amazing job with his roster every year. And one thing that they just had the Jets. You know, they were the 5A school when I was there, and Alcoa was 2A. So, you know,
Maryville's like a complex. They're not quite like Arrowhead, but they're a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so your only losses, you only lost to a team that was three divisions higher than you. I mean,
There's no shame in that.
No shame.
Yeah. No, it was great, though. I really enjoyed those times. You know, I still have a lot of friends that went to Maryville, that a few of them that live here in Nashville right now that I keep up with as well.
Well, and I will say my in-laws were a little disappointed you didn't end up at Tennessee, although they did understand that, like, you know, I think Tennessee wanted you as a wide receiver only in Kentucky. I think you cloned yourself, and there were three of you on the field at one time when you were like, you were wide receiver, running back, and quarterback all at the same. Like, you were everywhere for Kentucky.
I did a little bit of everything. You know, it's crazy. Everybody always asks that question. And I don't think people really remember the track of how things went. But whenever I was going through my recruitment, I committed to Kentucky before my senior year. And Tennessee didn't offer me until December of my senior year.
Idiots. So
they came into it late, and they pitched me on this story of I was this great player, and they were going to change their offense for me.
You're like, get out of
here.
And
when we left that meeting, my dad said, if you're so great, then why did Philip Fulmer never come?
Right. You're literally right down the road. You're right down. You're 20 minutes away.
He had to drive past our house to get to his house.
I love that.
It's really interesting. But, you know, I really loved my time in Kentucky, and it was great for me.
All right, before we let you go, I know you got to get on a flight, and you're going to head up to the up to Milwaukee, and you'll be at the Verizon store. Mitch will be there.
Bayshore Verizon store tonight, 5 to 6. Let's go. Yep.
Check out Cobb. He'll be there. You know, doing a fan fest deal. But I want to just touch on this a little bit, because you are working for the SEC Network, and obviously, getting into the college football space. What are your thoughts and feelings around this college football playoffs and kind of how it's gone so far?
You know, it's really been interesting. I love that everyone had a home game in that first run of the playoffs. I love that. I love that they've expanded it. You know, and I think everyone's always going to argue that their team should have been ranked higher, or we should have did this and that. But at the end of the day, I love, as a fan of the game, I love seeing what it's become and where they are. And who could have ever imagined that would have played out the way that it did? But I'm really looking forward to this championship game at Ohio State and Notre Dame, just to see what Notre Dame's coach has done in the course of a couple years. And Ohio State, like, they've been in it, and they've been close for so long, and now they have opportunity to actually get that win that they've been searching for. It's going to be a very exciting game.
Who are you picking in that game?
It's hard to go against Ohio State right now. Just the way that they're winning and the players that they have, it's been really impressive to see the way that they beat Oregon and the way that they played against Texas, who I think was a really good team this year. They won on defense. They won on offense. They have so many playmakers, and you got to think Jeremiah Smith didn't even have that many touches this past game. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him in this championship game.
Well, awesome. Randall, man, I really appreciate you jumping on. Can't wait to hang out here in Tennessee whenever you get back and, we find some space. But, appreciate you jumping on. Have fun up there in Milwaukee. And, we'll be watching this Packers team as they kind of, figure out this offseason and what their next steps are.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing everyone tonight. And Mason, as always, it's great to hear your voice and look forward to seeing you again here soon in Nashville.
All right, bud.
Thank you,
safe travels.
All right. You better come out tonight, Mitch.
You bet I will. I'll see you tonight. That's Randall Cobb, everybody. Tonight at the Verizon Bayshore store, 5 to 6, right on Northport Washington Road in Glendale. Everybody, you know where it is. It's right off the expressway. Just get off at the Silver Spring Drive exit. Get over to Bayshore. It's right there. Maybe we'll all meet up at the Cheesecake Factory after for dinner.
It's all the spots.
It's literally right next door.
By the time we get seated, it'll be time for the show tomorrow.
That's true. California Pizza Kitchen, is that better? Actually, there's a new place, Mallard's, that's got some good seafood and some good food. So just throwing out random restaurants. That should be advertisers here.
Exactly.
On the Mason Crosby Show. Mason, he's great. Like I love his perspective and fun to catch. It's always fun when I get to hear, and when Tommy and all of us listening get to hear you catch up with teammates, because there's always there's always the normal stuff that you want to talk to them about, but then there's always there's a little inside joke, or there's a little reminisce, or there's a little, there's a little something extra.
We could have, we probably could have gotten really deep into, past locker rooms and all of that. And, we'll get him on
that's
another
off-season
time.
Stuff. I think off-season we'll get all these people on again to get the inside stories.
I love his inside take because, his just relationship to Aaron in the quarterback position and he played that position. So he understands what needs to be done. And then his take on the number one receiver and how the groups of receivers he got to be around and, the development of how that goes and how it is actually a strength. If you have a group of receivers that are pushing each other to get better. Yep. So, his takes in that space are just so awesome. And he said such a positive, responses to all of it. And, he's always been that guy. Randall has never changed. He's never faltered. He is that guy that is always going to show up every day, put in that hard work, and be that positive influence in that space.
Our thanks to Randall Cobb for jumping on the show again. He'll be at the Bayshore Verizon store tonight from 5 to 6, meeting everybody. And that is my Verizon store. I am a Verizon customer, so endorsement campaign. Let's go.
Good plug. Yep.
Yep. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy Wirtz is here. We are the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Podwatomi Sportsbook. More Packers talk. We've got a bunch of messages on the Fan Talk and Text Line. That's the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line. 414-677-1250, a.k.a. bucket dumping today on a Monday following a Packers loss.
Yep. Get it all out. Let's go.